Lonnie, would you like to respond to some of this, or others would like
personally, and I certainly don't blame myself.
I'd like to get Alex back.
Just a minute. Jane wanted to speak next.
Just real quick, can you hear me?
Well, let me respond if I could at some point.
Yeah, no, it's just very quick. I just wanted to mention that it wasn't until after our LSB voted that I was able to go back and look at the detailed sheets, and I haven't gotten any answer, but there's actually a 95% fulfillment rate projected for the winter drive in WPFW, and I mean, our LSB had expressed concern about the unrealistic income projections, and then the development staff was very good at our station. You know, they worked with these numbers and this higher fulfillment rate. They felt that with the assistance of this telemarketing that it was doable, but still 95% when we traditionally we have only done 80 to 83% for the last 4 years I've been tracking it. So that's just, you know, additional fuel for the fodder, or fodder for the fuel, or what fire, or whatever it is. I'm done.
Is there someone else would like to speak?
Yeah, they're not at 95, they're at 85. I'm looking at
No, at 95% in the winter.
Yeah, I'm looking at the one I have. I got 85 for the one here in October, and then 84 for the winter, and 82 for the...
We'll
compare notes. But
Can I
get on the phone, please?
Rudy's first, and then I'd like to respond to...
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, in looking at the projected money to be raised at BAI this year, I think there's what I looked at in terms of my saying, well, are these numbers, you know, in the ballpark, was that this year we're projected to receive from listener support, when you combine listener support and the major donation line in the projections, the July projections, we're projected to receive $2,786,000. Next year, we're projected to receive $2,859,000. An increase, yes, but just under $73,000. So although the percentages, you know, if you look at it from a fulfillment percentage perspective, you probably say, well, whoa, this is, you know, there's a great leap here. But if you look at actual dollars that are projected to come in the door in 2007-08, it is an increase. I'll agree to that, but it's not as dramatic when you compare $72,000 or $73,000 to what's projected to happen in the current fiscal year. It's not as dramatic as it initially sounds when you're looking at it from a fulfillment percentage rate. So, I mean, there is some optimism that we will do a little better with fulfillment this year. Obviously, it's tied in with some reorganization within the station and with having support from the national office. But... you know, it's got to be a lot of hard work, and I think a lot of it's got to work that's got to come from people that have been, you know, critical of what's going on, and really, that's all they've spent their energy doing, being critical, not really putting their shoulder to the wheel to make some of these things, you know, to make the station successful. I mean, half our board spends their time criticizing what the other half is doing, either via email or, you know, whatever chance they get. I mean, it's difficult for an organization to move forward when everybody's working together, but when you have half or a third of the people who are on a campaign to undermine the efforts of the other two-thirds or half of the people, I mean, how do we expect the organization to move forward? I mean, I don't know what's happening in other stations, but that's basically what happens at our station. The people that don't like the finances, they use that as a hammer to undermine the station.
I think this is out of order, because we can go into a description of who is undermining what, and I think this is totally out of order. I mean, personally, I feel this is a personal attack. I spent 3 years trying to restructure and help
point of order.
Streamline this organization. So this is totally out of order.
Pardon me. Yeah, this is LeBron. Let me just step in again. I think that a lot of the frustration that we're hearing is the frustration with the budget. And at any point after people talk, I can just go back to, you know, thinking of how many years we've been on the board and how many years I've been trying to get some discipline. And Lonnie works really hard, and he has to try to work with the managers in terms of producing a budget. But all of these years, you know, with Fed repeatedly, there was this concept that Pacifica used to use called proven revenue. And when you're asking the listeners for income every year, you do not budget and expect the same amount each year. Let me just say, I know you had your talk. You talked. Let me just, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Point of order. Sure.
I believe that Baruti had the floor. He was interrupted by a member who was not granted the floor by the chair, and I don't know that he's finished his comment.
Okay, well,
that's a point of order. So
he said, yeah, he raised a point of order also. Okay, let me just say that. Well, there's frustration, and I think that what we need to do is stick to what we in finance, in terms of what the history has been and what we can do to move this forward. But there is frustration. There's frustration from Baruti. There's frustration from Berto. And it's all about BAI. So, you know, in terms of what we need to do here, let's try to stick to what we can do and what motions we can send to the PNB to try to effective change. Because, again, this rearranging the deck chairs is not getting us any place. So, Baruti, if you could finish, but try to stick to concrete things we can do to move this to the PNB so that we can make BAI not be in this downward spiral that it has been in since I've been involved with the foundation. But please, go ahead.
Well, two things. One, I didn't name anybody in particular. So it wasn't a personal attack on anyone. It's just a description of a condition in which the station operates. I didn't name anybody, so... I hope nobody...
I was on the stock lounge, sir.
Guilty. Now, the second thing is, I do think, and this is something that I wanted to... didn't get a chance to raise locally, so this is me speaking not for the LSB or for anybody else, just based on my experience and my assessment. I think that, at least at our station, I don't know what other stations need. I think that we need, an operational examination, an operational audit, to look at, you know, where can we operate more efficiently. And I think that has to be done, you know, because people have, as what Dave said earlier, people have so many vested interests, you know, it's hard to get, I can't see it really happening locally or using people within the foundation because, you know, everybody's, you know, I hate to say it, everybody has an interest to repeat that. So I think that somehow, at least what we need to have done locally, and like I said, this is me personally, I'm not representing anybody on this because I haven't discussed this with anybody, but it's been my feeling that we need to have an operational audit done. We need to look at every aspect of the station's operations from management, finances, operations, everywhere to see where can we improve because, I mean, we're stuck with a rent that's not going down, and if we can't get out of this lease, I don't know what's going to happen. So that's a major issue is this fixed cost that we have there. And then if we're not making the most in the other areas, I mean, we're going to continue to have a problem. So we need national support as it relates to both of these areas. How do we get out of this lease that we have, which we're tied into because this is $250,000 plus every year. So, I mean, and we have a number of other fixed costs that, you know, that are making it difficult to operate. So that's my assessment of it.
Okay. Who wanted to speak next? Jerry?
Oh, no, I think I was asking.
I'm sorry, Lonnie. Okay.
Well, we can go around and around on this all night, but let's try to see if we can get some specific recommendations. David made a proposal of looking at a target amount for stations to look at to reach it, but I think that's too broad a brush because each station has its own particular issues. The dollar amount, however, is about $671,000. If you were to find an additional $670,000, let's call it $700,000 or $650,000, our bottom line would improve to $900,000, which would be $600,000 would be $1.7 million. Right now we're showing $1.1 million. And if...
Lonnie, I don't understand what you're telling us. Can you...
We're talking about asking stations to improve their bottom line, such as to build in a cushion against figures that might fall below what's been budgeted. Right? Going back to the stations and asking for reduced budgets or budgets that show more of a contingency to the bottom line. Right? We have a motion that the board did pass that asked these stations to have a 5% contingency fund built into the budget. That 5% would effectively create an additional $600,000-$700,000. I'm saying we're just playing out that idea. I have another one, but I'm playing out that particular one. That is, if we were to...
Lonnie?
Yeah?
Question about that proposal. So if we're looking at that target of reducing expense by $600,000?
Oh, 5%. The board has already passed the motion.
Okay. It would be you would have to look at each station and see the size of their budget and how much and also the how they reach their target and what percentage to reduce on each station to meet that amount. How would you how you would go about it? Like try to find a formula. Like the 600,000 would be the net number, and then looking at each station and trying to find what percentage of that,
yeah,
based on the history and
one,
size.
Right, and then I was going to go into another one, but go ahead.
I'm trying to get into like more, a little more detail on that. So, yeah, I mean, not detail, but like this would be kind of semi the method.
Well, the board has already passed a motion asking each station for a 5% contingency fund. I'm saying that we could simply recommend that motion be implemented in connection with this FYOA budget, and therefore all stations would be asked to produce such a contingency budget with a 5%. That would be one way to do it, in the spirit of what Dave was suggesting. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That would be one way to do it. 5% could be $600,000-$700,000. All right. A separate option, and we could do that. We could make that recommendation, and we'd send them back, and we'd have the discussion at the board meeting. I would point out that we are in a serious financial situation. I have been saying so for over 2 years. This is it. We've hit that wall. This is the point of serious concern for us. And and one response is this, just as we ramped up during the last 2 or 3 years, the revenues were up. We have to ramp down and ask these stations to produce a plan around that 5% contingency, a motion the board has already passed. That would be one way to go and one recommendation.
5% of the net? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it would be the net to the bottom line, 5%. It would be set aside. And to do that, they'd have to reduce expenses. All right, that would be one way of getting to that goal. That's one option. 5% contingency, a motion already in place. No need to create a new one. And we would go from there. Now, that's one way to go, 5% for all of them. The second way to go is that all stations are not in the same boat, although, of course, we have the need. But if you look at the stations in terms of KPFA, it's not in the same situation as KPFK. And WBAI is different from all three. The second option is to go through a station-by-station recommendation and recommend for each station what seems prudent to do and not do it for all stations across the board because you have every LSB involved. And
Lonnie, my comment was about the national office budget.
Well, mine is about the whole network. I don't think you could just do the national office.
Okay.
I think you have to look at the whole network because it's not separate entities. So my recommendation would be that's follow the board guideline already established, 5%. Now, let me just finish that thought, Dave. I know you would like to maybe speak to it. If you do it that way, 5%, we all know that will likely impact unless there's some LSD or some fat in here we can't identify. It will likely impact staff. That it will entail further reductions in staff. Something that is political, something that is difficult to do because people's lives are impacted. So it's not academic, I think these budgets are. Going to have 5% is 5%. It'll have an impact on people. So that is one of the downsides of trying to do across the board 5%. The second option, as I pointed out, is to go through each one of them station by station, where some stations are doing well. Inflicting pain on them may not be wise. But so those are the two options. Do it station by station or do it across the board.
Are there comments?
Well, this is Dave. I'd like to make one final comment, which is I really think that a lot of these things are going to have to be looked at by the incoming ED with Lonnie, and I do think what we're going to need them to do is look over 3 months and come to us with a coherent plan about a restructuring so that when cuts do get made, it's not a matter of, well, we decided we could trim this here, and frankly, that there was, I mean, Brian mentioned the fact that, you know, certain cuts, while they're small and they cut into something that's important, they don't really have an existing political constituency, so they're easier. So I think we need them to go in some kind of motion from this committee, and certainly for the national office. I recognize that the same kind of thing has to go on at the local stations, but I think the national office has to come to us and say, this is where we're going to target our spending, this is our plan, and you know, we're going to make better use of our resources. I've made the point before that I think the way tech investments are done around the network is wasteful. I think there's a lot of duplication of effort, but on a grander scale, you know, what are we going to cut back on, and what are we going to really focus on and make work? Because right now we're doing everything threadbare.
Well, it's, you know, and when I go over in the exec session, Dave, and look at, I'll show you sort of what's in there around the tech issues.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Other comments? Well, this is LaVorn. I think that we've been going through this, and again, we've had others have offered this advice over the last, since we've been on the Finance Committee, 3 to 4 years. And again, as I was saying earlier, that there is this concept called proven revenue. And that basically what it tells you is that you cannot budget the same amount or even for the next year that you receive, the current year that you're in, that you're asking listeners for money, and you do not budget based on faith. You budget based on actual experience in history. But even at that point, you still don't do it based. You don't budget the same level as the current year. You just don't do that. That is not prudent. And in order to continue to ramp up or to continue to pay the staff that had been ramped up, therefore the budgets were, the revenue was kept at the same level or increased. And therefore the staff that was increased was increased not prudently. And in fact, when we start talking about staff, we still don't have headcount for every station. So you can't really control your cost unless you know who you have and how this headcount is being ramped up. So that's why people continue to budget at the same level, because it was actually funding and paying for the ramp up in staff. When that was not prudent, it does not for the foundation to do that at that time. And so all of these arguments that we had to not to increase the revenue, we were called union busters at KPFA. And we actually submitted a budget that was sustainable, and that budget, of course, was not delivered to the station. So now we are in the position we're in now. So my advice is actually along the line, which I've fished this concept for the last couple of weeks, and that's basically we need an outside for the new ED. And for all the issues that all of us have talked about in terms of how the relationships between the ED and the general managers, and how you can actually effectively produce change both in program and technology and in finance, what we need is we need an outside firm to come in and do an audit, not just BAI, but for all of the stations, a group that's a nonprofit group that has serious expertise, can work with Lonnie and the finance staff in order to understand what are the factors in place, what do we absolutely need, and to come up with a plan that's not influenced by any of the politics within Pacifica, but is concrete and that can produce a sustainable future for this foundation. Because as Linus has said, you know, and he has said this, and Rob said from the start, you cannot sustain this, and we're at the point where everyone realizes it. And as Linus says, also, not every station is in this position, but we definitely need the expertise at this point when we're getting a new ED to have an audit, to have an analysis, so that all of the areas that have led to this dragging down on the revenue and on the listener support can be identified, and we can set in a method to change this, which will include the whole thing, programming primarily, because that's what's driving our station. That's what's driving Pacifica. So again, you know, my recommendation, I can pull it up. I have a motion already written. I've shopped it around. That is what we need. And that these budgets, you know, again, you're producing revenue. Why are you producing this revenue with these fulfillment rates? We went over this the last time. That are not sustainable. Not sustainable. We had a fulfillment rate for a summer drive that was the same fulfillment rate for the winter drive. You know, it just does not, things in there that produce this number that just, things that do not make sense. So, you know, when I would, like all the budgets, but this going back, there's no such thing as a re-budget. You set up a budget, then you can do budget updates later, but you set up this budget, we bring in this outside firm who can help us in terms of putting in place the monitoring, and then also they'll produce a plan that, the board would approve, that we could actually make a change, because we're just going down the same line that we've gone down for the last few years, and no one really realized, because like the line said, people are asking for increases, and there's no money to increase anything. So we definitely need, we can't just rearrange the deck chairs, we definitely need some outside support to help this thing. So that would be my recommendation. And I'll pull up my little motion and I can send it to you.
I think that many organizations in Pacifica's situation do find themselves in a political clutch.
Yes.
Unable to move forward because of, but having an outside group come in and make recommendations is something that has worked at other organizations, and I would support it, Madam Chair. It certainly would be useful to the board, useful to a new ED, useful to the CFO, and useful perhaps to general managers, who too, I have to say, are real interested in dealing with costs too. They're not neutral in this. They just are having difficulty dealing with the same political force as we are. So I would heartily endorse the idea.
Okay, I will find.
Well, in terms of the budget, what's on the floor before us now, I do think the motion needs to be that we need to get to has to do with this this budget that's being proposed, and we're talking about the national office budget in this section of the agenda. So if you don't call it rebudgeting, we can call it whatever you like. But I'd like to craft a motion that basically calls for adjustments that reduce spending, and in particular look in the area of staff expenses. Over time, I'm sure that's going to make me popular with people, but I'll do that. As to this idea, I understand the sentiment of it, but I have concerns that, first of all, that any of those political issues that are constraining us from making changes don't actually get any easier if you have an outside firm say it needs to happen, because the intransigence is pretty deep. You have to get sort of broad-based agreement that there's going to be some changes, and that people cannot just narrowly defend their favorite pieces of what we do. You can say that, but in the event, it never actually happens. People keep defending them. So, and then I also think that it makes sense to hire somebody to come in when you think that someone with outside expertise may know aspects of your business better than you do. But I'm not sure that's the case in our case. I think our that's essentially what we need our executives to do and our incoming ED to do.
we'd be spending a fair amount of money that we don't have to have an outside audit, with the assumption that they would give us answers that we couldn't generate ourselves, or if we could, that those answers would have a legitimacy and an impact that we wouldn't have if somebody outside didn't tell us. I'm not sure that's true either. Again, I don't think that the people who are voting the way, and I'll say we because I take votes too, the way we do, I don't think we are going to be swayed by an outside firm from our positions in this. So I'd be concerned about that expenditure. I'd feel much more comfortable with an ED having to take that on. I think that's what we're hiring our ED to do, is to take that on. So I'd like to make a motion. I'd like to move approval of the proposed national office budget with a proviso that the new ED, working with the CFO, will propose to the board budget adjustments to reduce spending in the national office by 5% at the January PNB meeting.
Okay. Is there a discussion? Do we need a second on that?
I don't think in committee you need a second.
Okay. Is there a discussion?
Yes, I have some discussion.
Okay, Lonnie.
Let's see. First of all, let's see how much that comes to. Dave, do you have any idea what that comes to?
5%.
$170,000. I'm looking in this budget to see where it would possibly come from on the expense side. That would be the equivalent of 2 FTEs out of a staff of 11. Well, I would speak against it, and I think that that a new ED will need time to look over the budget, and I assume that they're going to want to have as many tools available to them, especially being new, to be effective. The second thing is that I think that the salaries in this national office budget are flat. It's only a $40,000 increase, so it's not the salaries. I would point to the board. I think you have to look at all parts of the budget. And if the board, you know, if you as chair would advocate one less meeting, that could be $60,000-$70,000. Or postpone it, move it to, you know, across the fiscal. That would say $70,000, as I pointed out. The other area, if we're talking about where this budget can be cut, not in the area of Democracy Now, that's fixed. I can't see saving a whole lot of money in the mailing costs, because that's income and you would be cutting your own, putting yourself in the foot. So that leaves staff. And that would mean a cutting $100,000 in the staff area. And I think that a new ED, leaving that for their sole discretion, would not save $100,000. If there were a recommendation in January, you'd save only half of that amount, because half a year is gone. Maybe a quarter of it's gone. Sorry. So I would speak against it as premature and put it along with the other budgets and try to look at a 5% contingency across the board, or, as I recommend it, go through each. Because if you were to cut, say, 5%, let's just trail that out. If there are other revenue shortfalls, you end up with a 10 or 20% cut and create utter chaos in the national office, because all the network is connected. So you may have a 5% cut coming from a reduction in revenue in these stations anyway, because less revenue means less central services, and so you have less revenue to work with in the first place. So the national budget is self-correcting, in as much as the income goes down with the revenue from the station. So we are always cutting. If we don't have the revenue, we're always adjusting and cutting. So to put lay on top of it a mandatory one, and in a scenario where everyone's predicting revenue will be down, not going to be a 5%. It'll be a 10 or a 15. And will be unpredictable. Therefore, all the more disruptive and chaotic.
Okay, Jane.
And Terry.
Can you hear me okay?
Terry.
And Bert.
Okay, Jane, Terry, Bert.
In the national office budget, I've heard a lot of praises for the mail drops, and I have had very mixed feelings about it because, obviously, you know, I appreciate the fact that it is taking some pressure off this crisis, but I think about the expense of the direct mail, $380,000, is it, Lonnie? Something like that?
Yeah, this year, next year we're going to raise $800,000, $900,000.
So the direct mail postage, $387,000,
direct mail.
Targeting to receive $900,000. I can't help but think how much I've wished that we had a grant writer working with all of our development staff, thinking about all the things that we're doing that are worthy of a lot of great grants. And I'm thinking that that those kind of income figures seem very reasonable for the network, you know, $900,000 in grants to do the work that we're doing, and that grant writer probably would not need to spend $380,000 on it. I mean, their whole budget probably wouldn't be that much, and that's just one of the thoughts that comes into my mind, and I know that it's a very big topic, much bigger than this meeting can handle, but I did want to get out. At least I have had concerns about the direction that those mailings are taking us.
Okay. Terry?
Yeah, I just wanted to confirm the wording of the motion with the maker. Adelson moves approval of the proposed national office budget with the proviso that the executive director shall work with the CFO to reduce national office spending by at least 5% in a revised budget for presentation at the January PMB meeting.
It wasn't in a revised budget because the LeBron's point of view approved one budget. It was that the ED working with the CFO will develop the revised spending plan to present as a budget adjustment to the PMB at the January.
Actually, Dave, isn't it case that if that ED and I were looking at the salary budget, I think we built in a policy where we could adjust the salary by 10%, the salary line, the salary category?
Any category, I think.
Yeah, that's right. We could do it that way. And I'm not opposed to it. I just think that it should be. We have a policy that allows that at this point, is what I'm saying.
Well, Lonnie, at DEI,
yeah.
They already reducing salary of the staff.
Yes, I know.
You know?
This is Dave.
Are you through, Berto?
Well, yeah, I'm just bringing the concern that, you know, these people have their salary reduced already by 5%, I believe. So, I mean, that would be hard.
Okay, Dave.
The rationale is really that if a new ED comes in and starts trying to do things that reduce expenses, they're going to hit those political forces like a brick wall, and that will reverberate through their tenure. So I feel the importance of the PNB providing a mandate to do that is to basically say, look, you have to look at this and figure it out. You have to do it now, and it's not something that can be finessed. And we need you to look, particularly in the national office budget, and that's why I'm putting it here, is something over which that person has control. And that person may have to look at as a first order of business, look at operations in the national office and figure out how to set a set of priorities and budget to them that reduces things that aren't the absolute priority. If they're going to come back to us after that and say, I'm sorry, I can't do it, you know, we'll have to deal with that. But I think without that impulsion, that's it may not happen. If the ED comes in the door and we've said, you have 3 months to work with Lonnie and come to us with a spending plan that reduces expenses by 5%, I think that it provides some concrete direction that would be very helpful. Now, if somebody wanted to amend the motion so that it's not necessarily decrease spending by 5%, but increase, you know, net revenue by 100 and, what was it, Lonnie, 170,000?
Yeah.
You know, we could do that, but I think, you know, the national office needs to be looked at as a whole thing, and I think, again, one place to do, well, no, I'll leave that out. Forget it. I'll stop there.
Bert?
Okay, Bert and then Lonnie.
Yeah. I would be kind of opposed to that because I believe in that motion we're letting the local station board off the hook. And the problem, major problem is at the local station boards where we're not raising the listener-sponsored money that we used to raise. And so that is, we are again ducking the bullet and not addressing the issue that programming has not been what it used to be. Like Woody said, I agree with him on that one. You know, the whole operation, the structure of the stations are not operating properly. You know, there are rumors that people don't come to work, things like that. You know, how do you address all these issues and get rid of those rumors if they are just rumors or if they're not rumors to deal with the issues? So that motion by Dave, again, is postponing, dealing with the problem, which is how do the local board become potent again? And so that's why I would be opposed to that, or I would want to add something to it, saying that the local board have to do certain things also.
Lonnie, then Dave.
Well, I'll pass. It's a tough problem. I agree with Berto that we do have to have a network-wide strategy around finance.
Okay. Point of privilege for Brian.
Sure, Brian.
Can I ask for a reading of the motion? I just have to be on the air for 10 minutes. I'm sorry.
Just a minute. Okay. Dave, Jane, and then, I'm sorry, Terry, could you read that motion?
Okay, this is what I have now. Adelson moves approval of the proposed national office budget with the proviso that the ED shall work with the CFO to reduce national office spending by 5% in a spending plan to present as a budget adjustment to the PMB at its January meeting.
Okay, there it is. Okay, Dave and then Jane.
Thanks. Yeah, in response to what Berthold said, we're in the section of the budget that's on the national office, and this motion applies to the national office. It doesn't preclude any other motion with respect to the stations.
Your point well taken.
So that's why I don't address it, and I disagree with the point that says the problem with the national office budget is a budget shortfall at the local stations. I think that Larry Bensky pointed out years ago in 1999 how the size of the national office was becoming a problem. And, you know, it may be that we really need it there. But as everybody knows, central services has gone up and all the rest of it. And it's not to say that there's not anybody in that national office who's not doing good work and critical work. But we're going to need to restructure and reduce expenses at every level to get us through a period of time when, revenues are going to decline. And I think that a executive director has a lot more authority going to stations and demanding reduced expenditures, demanding changes at stations if they've taken a first step of looking at the national operation and figuring out how to reduce expenses. Every one of those local stations looks at the national office like a vampire. They're sucking money and giving them nothing back. The KPFA passed a series of budget motions about the national office, but, you know, if you look at it, if you take the salaries and related in the national office, Democracy Now!, the Satellite Connect fee, Pacifica Radio Archives, and I think maybe the spending on the affiliates program, it's been a while since I looked, but just those things alone match all of the money that's raised from central services from all the stations. That doesn't count any of the development expenses, any of the other programming expenses, any of the administrative expenses, none of the national board, none of that stuff is in there. So, you know, that budget itself, I think, needs to get looked at, and I think that a mandate to the executive director that it's one of the first tasks in their first 3 months of operation would be a healthy thing.
Brian.
Okay, Brian.
Whoa, there is no staff.
I'm sorry, Jane, were you next?
No, I'd like to go after Brian, thank you.
Okay. Brian and then Jane.
I guess... I mean, I share Dave's concern about the expansion in national spending, not because I think national spending in and of itself is a bad thing. I think it's potentially one of our greatest strengths as a network. But because I'm concerned that with the revenue forecasts we're making, the national budget, the national office is not really proposing to live within its means next year. What we could realistically assume to be the money that'll come in. And the longer-term consideration for me is not how much is spending going up, but, and I think this is the focus of Larry Bensky's original speech on this, was how much we're getting for the money. Since Larry delivered those pie charts, the central services levy has increased. National has started fundraising on our airways directly. We started paying for national news separately from the levy, above and on top of it, which we did not used to do. But there's been only a minuscule increase in the amount of national programming that comes back to the stations. So the question is, are the national office's resources being used effectively to deliver value back to the stations? Because if you do... if you come through with really good programming, we have this example of Democracy Now!, it pays off in our listener income, and then that pays off for the national office. But right now, I don't see it expanding in smart ways that let you consolidate the growth and grow further. And I think you need to really sit down and do some planning. I mean, just going over that salary chart you gave us, Lonnie, obviously I can't discuss details, but... your average salary in the national office is $58,000, and a union salary here at KPFA is less than $40,000 a year. We laid people off this year, and we're budgeting to lay people off next year. It feels bad. It feels icky at a social justice institution to see disparities like that.
Okay. Jane? Oh, and then Lonnie.
Well, I'm not comfortable with the motion, although I am also sympathetic to the direction it's going. I'm going to come back just briefly to what other people have already skimmed over, which is the need for planning and the really we need to increase our listener base, and the idea of focusing on the cutting back on expenditures when what the real issue is, we need to expand our network. And I think about the, you know, the questions that the board has apparently asked for a detailed budget for the affiliates. Is that correct? Did I understand that correctly? It's the affiliates budget that...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, that's such an exciting program. Every time I hear, what's happening with the affiliates program, and, you know, when people locally realize that, wow, all of this is going on in Pacifica, and then when you go to the website and you can't really, it's really, I mean, just simply a thing like web presence. I mean, the, I would really like to get a lot more leadership out of our national office. Our boards have been left floundering. We have had tremendous resources here on our local board that have been wasted because we have been asked to invent the wheel over the last 3 years with governance. And some of our members don't know the difference between, governance and management. And a lot of what we get into in this meeting we're kind of dabbling into management. We're doing work that the staff really needs to be doing for us, you know, and then we're talking about cutting back expenses. And so I guess in terms of that organizational audit that Baruti talked about, what I really want to know is, you know, how can we provide our I'm going to be blunt. Our general manager has not been adequately supervised, okay? And I know that it's meant to be in a just a it's not a personal remark. I know it could be taken as that, but what I'm trying to get at.
This is Lavarne. Let me just step in one more time. You know, let's try to. I know we're looking at, I mean, it's very frustrating in terms of where
and
we are
important.
And trying to get these budgets. But, you know, let's try to not really assign blame around.
No. And I wasn't. And I was not trying to assign blame. I was attempting to put it in terms that were just describing the facts, okay? I'll go back to our boards. Our boards have not been given. But, we've wasted a lot of resources in the last 3 years, and I do think that there may be some forces among us who would like it to fail. I don't know. And sometimes I begin wondering if that could be happening. But I think that the motion is not really getting where we need to get, which, you know, you Lavarne, and others on this committee have touched on it this evening and many times before. So I can't support the motion, and regrettably, I can't propose a substitute motion that does a better job.
Thank you, Jane.
Can I get on this back, too, please?
I think Liney and then Baruti.
Yeah, well, just one. Madam Chair, we've got two other budgets to do.
Yes.
I just want to say that the National Office budget is self-reducing, that every time they reduce by $40,000, $50,000 this year, because every time the revenue is not forthcoming to the stations, it doesn't arrive at the National Office. Therefore, we're cutting budgets all the time. It's a scramble to deal with constant cuts at the National Office. So it is not like there's some sort of static budget. I do think that Dave's point about staffing for the National Office is something that's true for the whole network, and we need a network-wide strategy to deal with it. And I think that Jane is right on. The ultimate problem, the solution is programming. But if we don't have the listeners, no matter what kind of cuts we make, we're not going to be solving the basic problems that face the network. And I think the board has to step up to that plate and say, what are the critical issues facing this network such as sustainable over the next 57 years or 60 years? That provides direction. It provides goals for people to follow. So right now, everybody is sort of doing the best they can with what they have, and it's not producing the results that we all want. But I don't believe that we should. I resist the notion that the National Office is a scapegoat. It's not a scapegoat. It is not the blame, the cause of the ills of this network. So I reject that notion, and would have us look at what if we as a committee recommend to this board that will have the impact on the whole network. I still like Lavarne's idea, even though it may be costly. I still like the idea of focusing on what tools the local station boards can utilize to be more effective where they are. I support Baruti's idea of an operational audit. We have managers who vary widely in their effectiveness. We should address the problem financially in terms of what we can do as a committee to make recommendations. All of these factors are at play in what we face. So is there a quick solution? I don't know. You could what would be the single most important thing we could do, not solving all problems? I've kept thinking, what would that be? Well, we could improve our programming, attract more listeners. And that would be one of the factors that would make a difference network-wide. But I do think that the second one is improving our staffing, improving our management. That would be my view. Because we're not allowing our managers to make decisions, and everyone is stalemated in Pacifica. Now, you could make me financial czar and say, Lonnie, go out there and cut everybody's budget 5% on a mandate from the board. I could do that.
and I would come back with a budget where the 5% was cut. But there could be, from that, severe repercussions. You end up cutting staff, you'd end up cutting, you know, it would be chaotic in some stations. And there would be massive resentment. And it wouldn't be people pulling together toward a common goal. So, what to do? I'll shut up right now. What to do?
Baruti?
Yeah, carry on. What I wanted to add to the mix is that I think part of the issue, and I believe I raised this on the Finance Committee before, I know I've had it in other discussions, is that there's an area of where we can generate more revenue where we're not doing it. At least I know at WBAI, the fact that we give away our archives of our shows, to me, is a loss, major lost revenue opportunity. I've been provided statistics that say that, you know, we're averaging over 500,000 downloads per month in our archive. So that says two things, really. It says, one, there's a revenue opportunity there. People are willing to pay for things that they're interested in. You can just go to iTunes and see that. People are willing to pay to download and listen to things that they enjoy. And second thing is that, obviously, the people are interested in the programming that WBAI has to offer. So there's money right there. Even if we did 50 cents per download, that's over $250,000 a month. So there's money right there. 50 cents a download. We don't have to charge iTunes price, but if that's at over 500 downloads a month, 500,000 downloads a month, there's money right there. So, I mean, I know people say, well, that's not the Pacifica way. We want to get our message out as far and wide as possible, but, you know, we're operating in a different environment. We need to look at lost opportunities for raising revenue. And to me, giving away our shows for free, especially to people who probably aren't members, at least you could say, okay, well, we'll give a member. If you're a member, you can get it for free. But probably a lot of these people aren't even members, and they're getting our programming for free. So I think that's a lost revenue opportunity.
Terry?
Brian here.
And Brian?
I think this has been a healthy discussion. And Dave may beat me up for this, but I have no problem coming up with a substitute motion. So I move that the National Finance Committee recommends approval of the National Office FY08 budget and referral to the PMB for adoption.
Okay.
What was that?
Discussion. I'm sorry.
Can you repeat that, Terry?
Terry?
It's
approval
using the
of the budget, same, no conditions.
Right, it's the same format as used on the previous budget approvals.
I'm taking that.
Brian here.
Discussion. Was there someone before you, Brian? Okay, Brian.
I think I agree with what's probably Terry's sentiment that attaching provisos to budgets hasn't done us very well in the past, and we should either be approving something or not approving something. I just don't know that we should be approving this one. I mean, Baruti, in relation to what you said, I think in terms of a budgeting conversation, it's not that prudent for us to talk about unproven sources of revenue. The media business model is moving away from pay-per-service. Just this week, New York Times decided to stop charging for its premium content online, which was a $10 million revenue stream for them, because they think they'll more than recoup their losses through advertising. Mm-hmm. We have a similar revenue model where we assume that a small percentage, but some percentage, of the people who listen to us are going to be moved to contribute, and there's going to be more people listening if you give the stuff away free. You're not going to have 500,000 downloads if people have to set up an account and give you 50 cents for each show. There's going to be a reduction. I mean, you could test it. Maybe if you thought you'd make some more money after testing it, you could budget around it. But it's not something we can use to put the stations or the network in the black in the budgeting cycle before it's been tried. I think Terry's asking us to consider the right question. If we decide that that's the question we're going to take up, though, I don't think I can vote for approval of this budget as it currently stands.
Okay.
Madam Chair, this is
yes.
A point of order, I think. I think it really should be treated as a motion. Well, maybe he doesn't want to do this, but either to amend by striking or to divide. And we could deal with the pieces separately. And the reason for that is if somebody has something else they want, I mean, one question is whether we ask the executive director to come back with a reduced revenue plan, and we should move that up or down. And then the other question is whether we approve it as it is, and we can deal with that as a separate question. So maybe would the member, would Terry accept something like dividing the question, and then we'll vote it up or down. It comes to the same thing, except that it allows for us to debate the question separately instead of mixed.
Well, I offered it as a substitute motion, which is to amend by striking and inserting. But if we don't immediately go to a separate agenda item, then the remaining portions of the original motion can be reintroduced as a separate motion.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter. However the chair wants to handle it's fine by me.
I think that it's, in terms of the substitute, which does, as Terry says, does strike the amendment or the caveat there, we could go either way. Because, I mean, there's further discussion. We've discussed the motion, I think, all around. I think most people have an opinion on it. So at this point, then, we could consider it without the caveat, which is what Terry has described as a substitute.
Is the chair calling for a roll?
Well, I don't hear any further discussion.
Well, this is Jane.
Okay, Jane.
My opinion is that we need to express some of this conversation in our resolution that's sent before the PMB, because they're going to have, I think all the directors are going to have similar kinds of questions, and I think our job is to try to make as simple as possible for the matter to be discussed at the board. And so I believe that our motion, if we do approve this budget, needs to incorporate our concerns that the new ED provide a game plan for by December for the type of planning that that needs to take place to move us out of this we're operating right now.
Point of information.
Yes, sir.
Could it be that these budgets are voted on, and then there's a motion separately that comes at the end that would say that there would be a one-page executive summary written by whomever volunteers attached to each one of those budgets with the rationale of the discussion of the committee? And I think Terry is very good at doing that.
Point of information?
Yes, Lonnie.
Well, if we were, I think we ought to separate the vote up or vote down. I don't think we should add a lot of provisos. But I do think that the separate sense of the committee, that the new ED should look at the finances working with the CFO of the network and come back with recommendations in December, makes sense. I think, sticking with the idea that we have issues, financial issues, all over the network, and that if that satisfies the previous motion, that the ED, working with the CFO, present to the January board after review an assessment of the financial state of the network and make recommendations. That seems workable to me.
Carrie? You're saying that, well, as someone has suggested, that maybe those motions, I think that the motions in terms of up and down, except for the things with specific that we talked about, BAI, which I believe have been corrected, that we should vote up and down. And I think a motion at the end to address some of these, the major issues, which is, which is the foundation, financial stability, It should be a major motion which should be at the end, perhaps, to cover all stations. And I would like to, I'm still looking for my motion, to introduce the motion, because, just quickly, if you would allow me to say this, that, the idea to have the ED and the CFO determining, you know, where things should be cut in the national office, I think is basically a prescription for a total meltdown and not very good working relationships with the CFO and the ED. And, you know, somehow I don't want that to happen. Not that it's happened in the past, but, you know, we cannot continue to structure things where it does not promote, you know, good working relationships. And that, and again, going back to the outside firm, that, you know, that if that is, that, you know, if people can't understand that we cannot continue down this road, then, you know, people should just kind of like, you know, think about it themselves and, you know, within where we really want the organization, the foundation to go. And I really think that anything that comes out of here has to promote good working relationships. And certainly our job, I think, on the Finance Committee is to help the CFO to make sure the foundation is financially stable and that we have a good future. So I certainly would not set up a situation where the ED and the CFO would be fighting over, you know, who's going to stay at the national office. No, I can't do that. I certainly can't promote, can't support that at all. So I think that I would support Terry's motion strictly, you know, but I would support his motion. I'm not telling you how I'm voting right now, but that, you know, we either voted up or down. Because I have serious concerns about the direct mail, and we can talk more about that at some other time, but I have serious concerns about the direct mail. And in terms of the return on that, and I've voiced that in the past, and I know you've sent some stuff out, and we've seen the results of a couple of the direct mail, particularly with BAI, and it's not successful. So with the BAI, 22 in funds versus 55 in expenses, I don't think is a successful mail drop. But anyway, that's my position on it. Thank you.